house of the Lord this morning. You sound good. Amen. Isn't God good? Yes, he is. If you're visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We'll acknowledge our visitors at the end of our worship service. Hopefully you put all your turkey up. I'll tell you what, I don't think I want to see turkey for a minute. But especially those of you that are visiting from out of town, we know many have been traveling. Our students are getting back on the road, going back for this home stretch of this first semester of college, and we're praying for them, praying for you to have a safe trip back home and to finish strong and to get back into focus and get your lesson so you can come and have a good holiday over December and you won't be bringing some goose eggs back home. And we have to send you away from here again. But God is so wonderful, blessing us with some beautiful weather and good days. Hopefully you had a good holiday, Thanksgiving holiday. It's been blessed around here. Had the opportunity to spend some time in Terrell at the lectureship at Southwestern a few days, and good to be back home. Hopefully you've had time to spend with your family, and it was pleasant time. Some of you, I hope you had time to get a little rest, relaxation. Some of you, I'm looking at you, you need to hit the track. And I'll be right behind you. I must say that I definitely ate my share, and I don't think I sinned, but I tell you what, I came close a couple of times. Yeah. I want to this morning, not finish, but this is the third lesson of the series we started a few weeks ago and titled the Undeniable Biblical Principles series. I know that's kind of a long title. The undeniable part I put in because when you study them, when you study the principles, and a principle is a foundational truth. It's foundational. And many of us in here, we've heard this before, but we can't hear it enough, because if we don't get this right, nothing else really matters. You remember when Jesus said, I believe in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 24, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings, see, these sayings are Jesus' teachings, his commandments. They are the truths. They are the principles. He says, whosoever hear these sayings and doeth them, I shall liken unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. That's the foundation. Then he said, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, but it said, but it fell not. It didn't fall. You know why? Because it was built upon the rock, the solid foundation. And sometimes we going on in life pursuing our dreams and goals and trying to get this house and trying to get this job. But if you don't get the foundations right when we're trying to please God, you can get the house, but it'll fall real soon. And so we have to echo these principles every now and then to us, to remind us. And so now today we started out with stewardship, and then last week we dealt with conflict, and it's unavoidable. And then today we're talking about relationships. It's the third lesson, relationships. And so there are biblical principles that guide our relationships. They're universal. And I know some of you might be thinking we're talking about marriage. We're talking about all relationships, because we live in a world of people, and we have to deal with each other every day in all situations, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're young, whether we're old. And God has given us principles, general principles that guide how we treat each other. And there are teachings in the teaching. You know, we're in relationships, and I want to hit three of these before I sit down if the Lord says the same. And so we're talking about principles. Number one, you've heard it 1,000 times, is love in the relationship. Love is the core principle of Christianity. It's the core principle and relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 13, it says, Now, faith, hope, and love abide these three. Abide, dwell it, stays. This is the chapter that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he's writing about spiritual gifts, and all the people were desiring all of these spiritual gifts. And Paul told them in the first part of this chapter, he says, you can have all knowledge. You can give your body to be burned. You can give all, bestow all your goods to the poor, and it will profit you nothing if you don't have love. That's what the scripture said. That got to be important. He says, but the greatest of these is love. Everybody say love. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Even the way it sounds, it's a beautiful word. The greatest Christ-like attribute anyone can have. The greatest, the Bible says it. The greatest Christ-like attribute any person can have is love one for another. That's a mouthful. You know, scribe asks Jesus, Lord, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus says to love God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, to love God. And he said, this is the first commandment. But then he goes on to say, but the second is like unto it. It's just like it. It's just as of equal value. And what is that? To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we're talking about a relationship. But see, I know the world, life, people have stabbed us, have harmed us, have frightened us, have scared us, have mistreated us. But we as Christians, we cannot become so cynical while we're living on this earth that we don't love people. Have a mindset that, you know what, I need to love everybody. See, we have to have that mindset if we're going to be what God would have us to be. Well, Brother Gary, who is your neighbor? Well, Jesus taught us who our neighbor was in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is wherever opportunity meets anybody, that's your neighbor. Yeah, when opportunity meets somebody that has a need, then that person is our neighbor, whether he's next door or in another country. And so he's telling us, he says, listen, the first commandment is you to love God. All our blessings come from God. But the second is likened to you put in your mind that you love everybody. I remember my mother used to tell us, us boys in the house, he said, you treat girls with respect. She said, you treat girls with respect. When you have a sister, you want folks to treat people to treat her right. You treat them just like you want your sister treated. And, you know, of course, we didn't quite understand all of it then, but we knew what she was talking about. In other words, she said, girls are not an object. Yeah, you don't just. I remember one minute as we got a little bit older, one of my brothers, I'm not gonna tell you who they was. They were dating, and they bringing you bring somebody to the house. You didn't bring anybody to the house. You know, and he got a little bit older. He started dating. He's bringing this girl to the house, and then next week he brought another girl to the house. And then a couple of weeks later, he brought another girl to my mother. And I remember my mother saying, son, what's going on? He says, you know, what you doing? He said, Mama, they just friends. He said, all of them not friends. She said, why are you bringing all these girls? She said, Mama, they just friends. And she said, Scott, he said, look, now you need to, all right, now don't you be playing with these girls. What are you saying, bro, girl? You're talking relationships. See, when you have in your mind frame that you want the best for people, you want to treat them fairly, treat them with dignity, treat them with respect. That is the foundation for every relationship. See, I don't need to be dating 20 different girls because I can't do nothing for 20 different girls. They can do something for me. And we get so selfish and so self-centered that all we're thinking about is ourselves and not the other person. And God says, Gary, love people. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And it will guard our actions. It will guard our words. It will guard our deeds. We will stop playing with people's feelings, male and female. Stop mistreating people. Stop abusing people. Certainly stop being violent to any human being. Amen. Amen. We're talking about relationships. And Jesus gets down to the core. He says this in John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, he says a new commandment. Because under the old covenant, it was an eye for an eye. Two for two, you wrong me, I wrong you. Jesus says, no, no, my children, I want an action. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How, Jesus? Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Question to all of us today who are here under the sound of my voice, are you a loving person? If you are not, you're going to have a problem with God. I don't care what, you don't understand where I've been. You don't understand where we've been. All of us have been somebody, somewhere. All of us have been mistreated by somebody. But God does not want me to treat somebody bad because they've treated me bad. And he wants us to love people. Love everybody, all races. Indian Americans love their families just like we love our families. All of us have the same basic needs, every one of us. None of us are different. God made us all, and he wants us to love everybody, all people, at all times. Yeah, yeah. And so it's the custodian, the waitress, your coworker, your teacher, your boss, the receptionist. White, black, Asian, Spanish, African, the advantaged, the disadvantaged, the rich, the poor. God wants us to have the attitude that we love people. And it'll help us to treat the waitress better when we're in the restaurant. We're talking about relationships. It helps us to communicate and talk to people. We give people the benefit of the doubt. We talk to them the way we want to be talked to. We don't downrate anybody just because someone is a janitor. I'm no better than him. He's no better than me. We treat all people with respect. We're talking about relationships. The way God wants us to act in our relationship. Then we haven't even gotten to your children and your spouse. If you treat us, God wants us to treat even our enemies with dignity and respect. He says this in Matthew 5:43, you've heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Notice this, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We need to want the best for everybody. Yeah, our attitude. We know there are evil people in this world. We know there's some folk in here that really they don't deserve our love because the way they are treating people, but we're not God. Amen. Amen, somebody. We don't know where anybody came from. We don't know what direction. We don't know what background that they came from. And God tells us to love people. He goes even so far, and Solomon in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5, he says this. He said, he who mocks the poor taints his maker. He who rejoices at calamity will not go up. God says, listen, you see somebody going through their struggle. You see somebody getting paid even for their actions, for their evil deeds. He said, don't have a party because they're being whooped by God. Lord have mercy. We need some help, don't we? Yeah, we need to help. We need some growing because we want to see folks. Sometimes we want to get people back. Yeah, and we want to take the place of God because God can mock. That comes a time. Don't worry about it. If somebody's messing over you, if somebody's dogging you out, God going to take care of them. If you do your part and stay on God's side, but if we tell the whole truth about the situation, if God treated us the way we really deserve, we'd be getting a whooping ourselves. Yeah, yeah. And happened. So he says this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. We're talking about relationships. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Amen. And so when it comes to relationships, love is at the top of the list. Yeah, this ought to be this group of people that's meeting in here right now ought to be the lovingest people in the world. We can't find love amongst God's people, where are we going to find some love? Amen, somebody. And we got to learn how to talk to each other, talk better, that better. And I haven't gotten into the intimate relationships. No, see, God so loved the world. And see, now we're talking about, and I know we're not talking about the eros, the erotic love, the sexual type of love right now. Because, see, everybody in here, we all can love each other. Amen. Now, the eros love is reserved for my spouse, my wife, the type of love that I have for my wife. But all of us can love each other. And sometimes when you love each other, see, love requires, that's why if you dating and you dating some girls or you dating, but you don't need to be dating 10 girls at the same time. That's disrespect. Amen. Because you love, you can't marry them all. So why would you be dating 10? All you're doing is satisfying your needs. You're not thinking about the other person. And so see, when you love people, you respect folk. And sometimes love demands that you are being honest with somebody. Yes, you got to be honest with people that you love. If you don't like them like that, then you'll say, listen, you're a good friend, but, I respect you too much to dog you out, to take your money. I'm not talking about just brothers. I'm talking about sisters, too. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you can take his money. I won't go any further. Yeah, because some sisters, some ladies use men because they look at them as objects and not as people like God want them to look at them. Amen, somebody. Now, you don't need to take nobody's money if you don't mean well for them. Amen. Yeah, and it helps. See, when we love, it guards our actions. It guards our, I'm not going to do him like, I know he really liked me, but I know he's a person, and I know I don't like him like that, and I'm going to treat him with dignity and respect, and I'm going to tell him my honest feelings, and I'm going to back up. Amen, somebody. We need to hear that in the Lord's church. Some of these brothers and play on these sisters' feelings and, let's pray. And you're not talking about praying in the Bible. Love is the core. It's the core for our relationships. I tell you what, when my sister was dating, boy, we gave up. Any boy talked to my sister had a hard time. Yes, sir. Because we didn't want nobody messing over our sister. And we don't want anybody abusing anybody. Amen. Whether you're friends, whatever it is, you love people and want their well-being. Love, love, love. Number two is this principle of forgiveness. And see all of this we've heard before. But we're talking about relationships. We as Christians, according to the scriptures, should make forgiveness a part of our nature. And we have a hard time with this one. Yeah, in relationships. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive others for their transgressions, if you do that, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father, notice, will not forgive your transgressions. That's what the scripture says. And it's so, it's so easy to magnify and highlight what another person has done when somebody has wronged you. It's easy to magnify. And we hold it up and we put it on the billboard and they don't treat me like this and we have in our mind, and we hold it there, and we just, And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about in any relationship. So what are you saying? One principle of God's people is that we are forgiving people. And yeah, I broke it. See, people, see, I know that's why people use us. Yes, they will. They will. People would take advantage of our love and our forgiveness. It happens, doesn't it? But that does not change what God has commanded us to see, because God's goal is not just for our own personal interest. When a person is going to fulfill what you need, God wants everybody to be saved. Ultimately, every person in the world, God wants them to be saved. And he says, for you as a child of God, first of all, get in your mindset that you're going to come a time you're going to need to forgive somebody if you want me to forgive you. And I got a question. Does anybody need forgiveness from God? Lord, how many times? I mean, how many times? And, you know, we kind of Lord, I sin, you know, please forgive me my sins. Lord, pray, Lord, forgive, please, Lord, forgive me. And we just act like what we did wasn't nothing. I don't want to put a guilt trip on anybody, but just call them out in your mind right now. Some of the things that we have done, if we said them out loud in here, somebody would say, ooh, child, I'd never forgive you for that. And I just, you know, I guess we can start with a simple one, is lying. Some of us just lie too much. You know, we lie and just don't even think nothing of it. You know, where you been? Oh, I just went down right around the corner and just said, you just lying. That's not where you went. Yeah. Where's my money? I don't know. You're lying. Listen. Write down how many transgressions you've had. You need a big tablet? Write them down. See, this puts it in perspective. See, none of us are worthy enough not to forgive somebody.
But see, they don't deserve forgiveness.
See, you're thinking of the extremes. And we always go to that. Well, you don't know what they did. They don't deserve forgiveness. Yeah, see, now, listen to this. When people don't ask us for forgiveness, and I know that's probably the toughest time to forgive somebody, when they don't even ask you for forgiveness, we still have to, at some point, forgive them for our own sake. Amen. Because see, some of us, even in here right now, some of us holding on, your stomach is bubbling right now because he up there preaching about forgiveness and he don't know what I've been through. Yeah, you're right. But how you doing with it? What is it doing for you right now? Even when somebody brings it up, it just your blood just boils. See, sometimes we forgive for our own sake and our relationship with God. Amen. See, it's what Jesus did. You heard it in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. But Jesus was saying as he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Now that's, I'm telling you. Now I know we've been through a lot, but I don't know if we, anybody. He said, Father, forgive. They're gambling right below his feet. Talking about him, revile him, look at him. He's the Son of God. Come on down off the cross now. They've lashed him, they've spit on him, and he's up on the cross, and he's in excruciating pain, and he says, Father, forgive them. Notice he says, Father, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't realize. See, in other words, I know somebody said, but they knew what they do. Yeah, they knew physically what they were doing, but they didn't know the consequences. They didn't know the extent. It's like some people that do us wrong right now. See, some people that hurt us come from situations, they can't hardly control what they're doing. And I don't give them no excuse. Some of us, if we'd have been in the same situation that some people were in, we would do worse. And so sometimes a person that does something, I'm not excusing them, but they don't understand really what's going on. And God says, you son, you daughter, you imperfect one, you who sin all the time, forgive them. Because I forgave you. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to make yourself all that. You not all that. Forgive them. And release yourself from the pain, from the thoughts, from the ailments that it's doing to your body. And see, some people, you not forgiving, they don't know it. They ain't gone about their business. They ain't thinking about you. Eating every day. Spending money, going on vacation. They are not thinking about you. And you at home, sitting, sulking. You walking around, can't even see straight. Can't talk to nobody. Not in a relationship with anybody. Because we can't forgive somebody. Now, this is the kind of forgiveness you need God to help you with it. Yeah, you need to be praying. You need to be singing. You need to be in the Lord's house. You need to be around positive Christians who you see are trying to live for God. Because you recognize that it's not doing me any good. We're talking about relationships. You will not be functional in another relationship if you don't learn how to forgive. Because I got some news for you. Somebody else is going to mess up. Somebody else is going to do something to you. Oh, Jesus, help us. Yeah. Yeah. See, we need to make it a part of our nature to be. Lord, give us wisdom to know some people, they're just so crazy. Some people, they're just so wrong. And give us the wisdom to know. See, now, then there are times that when people do ask us for forgiveness. See, go to Luke 17:3. His scripture says, be on your guard. For if a brother sins, rebuke him. Now, see, God, is he not God not telling us to be a doormat? Just lay down and let everybody walk all over you. He uses the term brother. It's the same term for brother and sister. He says, if somebody offends you to the point, somebody does you wrong, let them know. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Now, you don't have to do it all in public and call them out, but let them know. Listen, brother, that's you were wrong. You wronged me, and you know you wronged me. And then the scripture says, if he or she repents. Now, some people don't repent. If they don't repent, you put it in God's hand. You pray for them. You still don't wish evil for them, don't wish bad on them. You pray for them. You say, you know what? The Lord going to take care of this person. Amen? But if the person, see, repent means to turn from sin. Now, sometimes we don't know if a person sincerely repents or not. But Jesus said, one young asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive him? He said, seven times. If somebody comes to you and says, brother, I'm sorry. Then don't you be the genie. Don't you be the mind reader. Don't you be the psychic. No, you not. If they come to you, the scripture tells us to forgive. People come down here all the time. And they get one of these cards, and they say, I confess my sins to God and ask him for forgiveness. Any of y'all been down here? Anybody need to come down? I mean, people do it. Don't we do it all the time? Every people come down here. If I was to give out cards to everybody on here, you know what? I would imagine the majority of us can check this box. I confess my sins to God. And I ask him for Now, you do know if you die in your sins. Do you know why Jesus left glory to come to the earth? He came to die for our sins. And so when it comes to relationships, you might well get in your head. You're going to need some forgiveness. Your spouse going to need some forgiveness. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your single friend, your old... Do old people still need forgiveness? Thank you. I just checking. I'm starting to get a little older now. Old people fall out, don't they? Yeah, you get stuck in your ways. In one of these old, I shouldn't call them old. One of these seasoned saints. He said, hey. And so when it comes to relationships, I have just a little bit more to go, but we have to be on the right mind in relationships. See, what are you saying, Brother Gary? Jesus is giving us these principles. He's saying, look here, first of all, love is first. Love, you got to love people. And forgiveness is because you in the world with folks who are hurting, folks coming with all kind of backgrounds, got all kind of baggage. And if you got to have forgiveness in your heart, if you're going to make it, if you're going to be in a relationship, you got to have this. And so, if somebody asks for forgiveness, if you fault, don't fault on being too hard on a person. You can't be weak. I know him. You can't be weak. Yeah. Help us, Lord. Help us with this one. The last one. Love, these principles, fundamental principles. Forgiveness, faithfulness. To operate in a relationship the way God intends the relationship to be for us. To be faithful means to be reliable. It means to be unwavering. It means to be steadfast. This is what we ought to be striving for. It's what sets God apart from all others. Nobody compares to the faithfulness of God. It's what takes the relationship to the next highest level, to the highest level. It's faithfulness, because sometimes it takes time. It was read in your hearing, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. A promise is only as good as the promiser. Amen. Yeah, we promise things all the time. Sometimes we can't live up to our promises. Sometimes it's because we're human beings. Sometimes it's because we get weak. Sometimes we just decide we just don't want to do what we promise. The scripture says for us as Christians to hold fast to. And see, if you study the scriptures, you see all throughout history that God is faithful. That's why we need to study our Bibles. That's why we need to come to worship. It ought to give us reassurance. Look, we got the right, we're following the right one. He's done it. The scripture says he reigns on the just. But that's God. Has God ever missed a sunrise? When did he, if he did? Yeah, I mean, he's faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Oh, boy. That's our relationship with God. God has already proven himself. He's faithful. It's like, you know, when I tell you what. It's an attribute that binds an unbreakable relationship. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where there's proof that I absolutely know when the person is faithful.
Yeah, if you have a business and you have an employee that shows up to work on time every day, clocks in and does his or her job every day, and you can almost set your watch to them. You know their routine. You know what they're going to do. They take care of business. They follow their procedures. They're doing what they need to do, and you are the owner of that business. You better say, thank you, Lord. When you get a person like that, you better take care of that person. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's priceless. Some people go, it ain't no jobs out here. You tell you what, there's some jobs out here. We need some people to do the jobs out here. Yeah. If you have an employer that your check clear the bank every week. Some of us don't think like that. We work for big companies. We think, oh, they got all this money. You don't know what kind of money they got. They'll shut them doors on you. If you're working for a small business owner, or you're working for an employer that's consistent, sometimes you come in one day, person says, how y'all doing, everybody? How y'all doing? How you doing? Shaking everybody. How you doing? You come in another day, he don't even crack their lips. And you wonder what they going to be like today. Just as wishy-washy as they can be. Yeah. When you find a friend that is faithful. Every friend is not faithful. Some so-called friends like to talk to everybody. Hello, somebody. Yeah, you tell them something. And you say, I don't want to hear, I'm just telling this is between me and you. Yeah, true friend is faithful. Now some of you get your mind back right here now, because you already met that you go, you getting mad because somebody, and you said, see, that's why I never talk to them again. Don't say that. Because you probably told somebody's business you shouldn't have been telling. Amen, somebody. See, no, don't hold nobody to this perfection mode. Only one did that. And I'm not saying just give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but sometimes we destroy our own selves by setting up standards that we can't hold ourselves. And trying to hold somebody else to a standard you haven't never done. So we all trying to get better, right? We're trying to operate in relationships better. And when you love people, you're honest. And baby, look, I'm sorry. We were talking. You're honest and you ask for forgiveness when you need forgiveness. You forgive when somebody asks you for forgiveness. Yeah. They say some pets are more faithful than some friends. So you get a good dog. Some of y'all, I tell you what though, you get a good faithful pet, you got yourself something. Amen, somebody. Yeah, our faithful dog, he died years ago. It was Trixie. Trixie was our best dog. When I was a kid, I get off the bus, I'll get walking from school, Trixie be waiting at the gate. Anybody come crawling, act like they want to mess with me, Trixie say, no, you're not going to do that. Amen, somebody. Yeah, Trixie would wag his tail. You could set the quiet, you know where he was. If I call him, Trixie was right there. Let's don't let animals be better at being faithful. you have a faithful child. And we train in our children. We're trying to teach them valuables and these principles. They need to understand the importance of faithfulness. Now, notice this. We're trying to train them, but don't expect them to be faithful to us if we're not faithful to them. When we make promises, we need to be faithful to our promises as much as we can control. And that's why we just don't need to get in the habit of making all of these grandiose promises that we know we are, we think we might not be able to keep. Yeah. Listen, by the way, don't spend all your money on Christmas. Maybe I need to do a lesson on that. I'm just, this time of year, I like Thanksgiving. It's, you know, you eat with family. But Christmas destroys a lot of homes. Because hold on to your money. I know you're going to spend that money anyway. I know it's about time for me to stop. I'm talking about relationships. For those of us that's married, be faithful to each other. Be faithful to each other. And you know, I understand, it's not easy. It's not easy in the world we live in, especially depending on what age you are. I used to think just young people struggle with this, but I'm finding out that I'll be 60 in a minute. In just a little bit, I'll be 60. And, you know, of course, 60 is not old now, so... But I found out temptation don't stop when you get 60. And I heard it don't stop when you get 70. And I even heard 80. Hello, somebody. It takes conviction to be faithful. It takes a relationship with God to be faithful. But see, unfaithfulness destroys relationships. And see, some talking, let me read this. I need to stop. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, but not of those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth. See, that's why even the Bible, when we are selecting leaders, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, or not hastily lay hands on a person until they are proven. And see, and young ladies, if I could give you the best advice I could give you if you are in a relationship, is take your time. Because anybody can be sweet, bring you flowers and hello and call you and text you all these beautiful texts for 2 weeks. And you need to slow up and allow that man, that woman, to prove themselves by being faithful to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ. God is looking for
faithful. Anybody can say, I love the Lord today. God is looking for faithful servants who love him with all their hearts, all their souls, all their minds. Then 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, I'm going to end with this. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God. And this is the difficult part in relationships, because I know sometimes this is what our measuring stick is. Well, again, you just don't understand. You don't understand. I've been trying to do what's right. And he, listen to this. He says, those who also suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful creator in doing what is right. See, sometimes there are some things that only God can answer. And sometimes we go through situations and relationships that we feel like we don't deserve, and they are hurting because we're with somebody, we've been with somebody, we had these experiences, but for the children of God, know we serve a faithful Savior who understands, knows all, knows the background material. He knows our limitations. And don't be so quick to put all the blame on everybody else. Because even when you're in a relationship, don't we have the choice of who we're in relationships with? Don't we make a decision on who we're going to get in the car with? Who we going to let? Who we going to drive with? Can't we accept some of the responsibility and not put it all on the other person? That keep our eyes open? And sometimes we suffer, Lord Jesus, Lord. But if we suffer, if any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian and doing what is right in the sight of God. That's our hope. And these principles will guide us in all relationships. And you know what? When you get a good mate, when you get a good employee, a good child, you better say, thank you, Lord. And yet we play a part in it. We play a part in what we can do. But God, some of us, let me say this, not hurt your feelings. Some of us, we not all that good. And we not all that perfect. And we didn't make all the right choices. It's just that God bless us with the right person. Amen. And so, but we all need to be better in our relationship with each other. If you're in here today and you're not in the right relationship with God, our relationship with God started with love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. God reached out to us first. That whosoever believes in him, he doesn't discriminate against anybody, should not perish but have everlasting life. He extends that to every person. And that's what God wants us to do when we come in contact with people. And if you believe with all your heart that God did extend that love to all of us, he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. He proved it by his actions. And if you're willing to repent of your sins and recognize that you're not perfect, if you're willing not to be ashamed and confess the sweetest name that you could ever confess and follow it up by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, that puts us in the right relationship with God. And I don't know who would not take God up on that offer, because God is faithful. You won't find sisters, you won't find a better husband than Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. I know some men might have let you down. Leave them alone. Amen. Some say, well, yeah, I need to be in a relationship. You don't need, see, listen, you think you need to be in a relationship. I know some sisters. I know some young ladies who thought that for some years. They got with somebody, and they told me out of their own mind, you know, Brother Gary, I don't need a man. Because I don't have to be with nobody. Treat me like this. Be married to Christ. If you're here today and you need a church to pray for you, we'll pray for you.
If you're here today and you need to get something right with God, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusting in his grace?
Are you washed in the blood?